A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Today is Friday, June 4th, 2021. On this day in 2018, a five-day killing spree committed by Dwight Lamon Jones ended. Six victims were left dead in its wake. Welcome to Today in True Crime, a Spotify original from Parcast. Due to the graphic nature of these crimes, listener discretion is advised. We advise extreme caution for children under 13. Today we'll discuss Dwight Lamon Jones's murderous rampage. Let's go back to Scottsdale, Arizona, during the early morning hours of June 4th, 2018. Dozens of police and heavily armored SWAT officers descended on a lonely extended stay hotel. They stealthily evacuated the other guests before approaching the room of Dwight Lamon Jones. Despite their caution, Jones figured out he was being surrounded and started shooting at the authorities before they could burst in. To de-escalate the situation, SWAT officers tossed a canister of tear gas into his room. As clouds of gas filled the area, police heard multiple shots from Jones. The officers sent a robotic drone bearing a camera inside to give them a view. Images captured by the robot showed the 56-year-old Jones dead from self-inflicted wounds on the floor of his room. It marked the end of one of the most horrific murder sprees in the city's history. The past 5 days had stricken the residents of Scottsdale with fear, especially those in the legal profession. Six people had been systematically hunted down. While the press reported that most of the victims worked in law, the suspects' motives weren't clear. Scared citizens thought the assassin might be randomly targeting anyone with a connection to the legal world. Some worried Jones was indiscriminately shooting anyone who happened to be in a law office or court when he arrived with his weapon brandished. The first victim was attacked on May 31st. 59-year-old Stephen Pitt was an esteemed forensic psychiatrist. He was well known in his field and had worked on high-profile investigations such as the JonBenet Ramsey murder and the Baseline Killer case. At 5:18 p.m., Pitt received a text from his fiancée asking if he was on his way to meet her. He responded, 10 minutes max. However, it was only 2 minutes later when police received a report of gunshots at his workplace. Witnesses also reported hearing raised voices arguing just before Pitt was gunned down. When law enforcement investigated the scene, they discovered discarded shell casings, one of which yielded a DNA sample. Less than 24 hours later, at 2:15 p.m. on June 1st, 49-year-old Laura Anderson was targeted. Anderson was a paralegal at the downtown law office of Burt, Feldman, and Grenier. She was shot in her chest and died immediately. Another paralegal with the firm was next on Jones's list. 48-year-old Valeria Sharp sustained a bullet wound to her head, but wasn't killed right away. She managed to run from the building with blood dripping down her face and attempted to get help from a passing party bus driver. She then collapsed and was taken to the hospital, where she later passed away. Investigators found shell casings at the scene similar to those at the Pitt shooting, but the killer wasn't finished yet. Just after midnight, a fourth victim was targeted. Dr. Marshall Levine, a life coach and hypnotherapist, was fatally shot near his place of work. In what seemed to be a break from a pattern, Levine was not a law professional, but shell casings matching those from the other crime scenes were found at his office. The authorities and press scrambled to understand the assassinations. To find the shooter, they needed to understand his motives. Unfortunately, they didn't have to wait long for him to strike again. In the very early hours of June 4th, at almost 1 a.m., a Scottsdale couple were found murdered inside their home during a wellness check. 70-year-old Mary Simmons and 72-year-old Brian Thomas were both shot to death. Thankfully, by then, police had finally received a credible tip that led them to suspect Dwight Lamon Jones. Jones was easily spotted, driving his gold Mercedes-Benz with distinctive rims, so cops started tailing him by the afternoon of June 3rd. They watched him pull over to throw away a small bag. Officers fished it out of the garbage and discovered a .22-caliber pistol inside. Mysteriously, however, the weapon didn't match the ballistics on any of the shell casings collected from the crime scenes. But it did still have DNA on it, which matched the pit shooting. Officers were almost certain that the killings were all connected to Jones, but a DNA sample needed to be taken from a known relative for comparison in order to be sure. A detective was quickly flown to northern Arizona to personally take swab tests from Jones's son and have them analyzed. The positive hit that resulted led police to the fatal standoff at the killer's hotel room in the early hours of June 4th. But that was only the first step in discovering what motivated Jones in the first place. Coming up, we'll hear what drove Jones toward merciless and fatal destruction.
The worst serial killer, the creepiest cult, the most outrageous con? If you're a true crime fan, you've probably pondered these things.
Well, now you can get answers, or at least some passionate opinions. Every week on our podcast, Crime Countdown, my co-host Ash and I rank 10 unsettling crimes centered around a common theme, debating each case with just a hint of humor to lighten the mood.
Elena and I may not be experts, and we may not always agree, but we're counting down anyway. Follow the Spotify original from Parcast, Crime Countdown. Listen free on Spotify.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Now back to the story. By June 4th, 2018, Dwight Lamon Jones had murdered the last of his six victims. During an early morning shootout with police, Jones died by suicide. It took time for authorities to figure out exactly what had driven Jones to violence in the first place. His tragic killing spree was centered around revenge fantasies, which started after Jones went through a bitter divorce with his wife of 21 years, Connie. Back in 2009, Jones was arrested for a domestic violence incident with Connie that resulted in broken ribs. He was held in a mental health ward for a few days. At the hospital, the man who would eventually become his first victim, Dr. Stephen Pitt, evaluated him as part of a court order. Pitt predicted that Jones would continue to unravel. He will become increasingly paranoid, likely psychotic, and pose an even greater risk of perpetrating violence. Pitt, without knowing it, foretold his own murder. He wasn't the only person targeted for their involvement in Jones's divorce. The two slain paralegals, Sharp and Anderson, worked for lawyer Elizabeth Feldman. She had represented Connie during the divorce proceedings against Jones. The next victim, Levine, didn't work in the legal profession, but sadly suffered from being in the wrong place at the wrong time. He happened to be subletting his office space from the counselor who had worked with Jones's son during the custody hearings. The couple Jones murdered on the last day of his rampage, Simmons and Thomas, didn't have an obvious connection to the divorce. They were social acquaintances of Jones, though, and Simmons occasionally played tennis with him. It was Thomas's gun that Jones had taken and then thrown in the trash, later to be retrieved by police. The reason the couple was targeted by Jones is ultimately unclear, however. Jones took the answer to his grave. But while that mystery will likely remain unsolved, Jones's actions on the whole pointed clearly to his central motivation. In fact, it was the connection between the first three victims that led to the killer's identification. The Good Samaritan who called the police to report the tip was none other than Connie's new husband, Richard Anglin. Anglin, a former Phoenix detective, originally met Connie when she hired him as a bodyguard. Needless to say, he was quite familiar with the circumstances of his wife's divorce. Since the divorce, Jones had threatened Connie, claiming he would abduct their son. He taunted her, saying he could wait years for his revenge. At the end of the tragic spree, Connie reflected on her ex-husband, saying, "He was a very emotionally disturbed person, as the court records will confirm. Personally, I have feared for my safety for the past 9 years. I cannot express the emotions I feel for the innocent families touched by this." Regarding the reward that might be due to the couple after Anglin called in his tip, Connie said, "Any reward money collected will be donated to the families of the victims and to Chrysalis, the nonprofit agency that helps victims of domestic abuse and violence." Thanks for listening to Today in True Crime. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You can find more episodes of Today in True Crime and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow in True Crime. Today in True Crime is a Spotify original from Parcast. It is executive produced by Max Cutler, sound designed by Paul Libeskind, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Trent Williamson, Carly Madden, and Bruce Katovich. This episode of Today in True Crime was written by Christine Colby, with writing assistance by Terrell Wells, and fact-checking by Cheyenne Lopez. I'm Vanessa Richardson.